The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. So like Moses, we say to you, God, I am here. I am here. You are here. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A couple of years ago, before the pandemic, I was on my way to church, getting off the subway at 103rd and walking down Broadway. And the crowd was going the other direction, carrying their yoga mats, dressed in their best Lululemon. And I thought, wow, I wish they could come too with me. I love yoga. Yoga with Adrian during the pandemic on YouTube got me through. But there's something there in yoga, and it's not just the mix of body and soul, or Tai Chi as John Cantrell might do, but it's also silence, meditation. That word, meditation. And it's part of our Christian faith. So often we think of it as being Eastern. I mean, when we say, I'm so zenned out, if you said to somebody, I'm so Jesus out, what? But there it is. It's right there in our psalm today. Teresa of Avila, I love Teresa of Avila, she made the distinction between two kinds of prayer. There's verbal prayer. We get that in the psalm. I praise you with my lips, verbal, and mental prayer. I meditate on you when the night watches. Meditate. That word actually appears in the psalms 19 times. 19 times, meditate. You know, if you go to a New York cocktail party and you bring up meditation, there'll be a lot of responses. Oh, I did transcendental meditation. Oh, I've tried it. I'm not very good at it. In my office, we've had training for it. Mindfulness is supposed to be good for creativity. You know, if you said the same thing, if you brought up church, you might get a bit more silence than you would get with meditation. And as I was walking, I was thinking, why can't we spread this news? Why can't we share this? Because we have something to offer here. Two rectors back, Fred Hill, wise and wonderful Fred Hill, he made the observation that in the late 19th century, mainline churches like ours really got rid of healing prayer. We had Western medicine. And what happened? The Christian Science faith came up, filling a vacuum. So we are now more comfortable with healing prayer. In fact, if you would like to pray with someone, you can call. There are some numbers you can plug in and find somebody to pray with for healing prayer. And we've done it here on our services. But this idea of meditation, I think its popularity is it's filling a huge vacuum in our lives. Silence. You see how we've integrated it into the service more right now. So often, we Christians, what we love to do is talk. I love to talk. It's insane that I would be giving a sermon about silence. Just shut up. Be silent. But there it is, silence. The book I've most recently written called Even Silence is Praise, that phrase, Even Silence is Praise, is from the Common English version of Psalm 65. Even silence is praise. When I hear silence about the book, I say, oh, well, they must be praising me. But it is so necessary to hear God and listen to God by getting silent. What I think of is my mom when we were little kids, and we were kind of a raucous, busy bunch, four kids. She would say, "Listen to me. You've got to get quiet to listen to me." We need to do the same to listen to God. Maybe even more so in these busy times, noisy times. Look what there Moses was out there doing his work, and he heard something, and he turned aside. He stopped his work. He left it. He turned from it to focus. And there he saw, what a vision, the bush that burned and wasn't consumed. What a wonderful metaphor for light and God's power. It's this fire within us. I mean, by praying, we put our fingers in that plug and get to access it. But he had to listen. He had to turn. In the gospel, we get another word that I think can rile us up a bit, which is that word, repent. I'm afraid that it brings up visions in my mind of the old New Yorker cartoon, "Repent and be saved." But you know what it does mean? Turn. Turn. Which is exactly what Moses does. He turns. And he listens and he says, well, I find a prayer. I think of it as a prayer. "Here I am. Here I am." Well, when he listens, he also has the kind of reaction that most of us do, which is, "Oh, no. Not me. You want me? No, God, no." But he had to listen first. So how can we do that? We get silent. It's going to sound insane, but for many years as I was commuting to work on the A train, I would pray there, checking out to check in. Now I do it on the lumpy sofa in our TV room. I do it first thing in the morning, and I just close my eyes. Now, when you also talk about meditation, people say, "Oh, the distractions, the noise. Oh, I think of this, I think of that." Sitting on the couch, of course I do. I can't tell you how often I'm thinking about the bills that need to be paid and the bank balance, the texts I have to send, the emails, all that busyness. The gift of doing it, though, in a time of prayer, hearing those distractions and sharing them with God, bringing God into the busyness of our days. So later in the day, when I do write that check and I do those texts and I write that article and I do the best I can, I've brought God into it. You know, Paul says that phrase, to pray without ceasing. I don't think he means we're just supposed to mutter prayers, blah, 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 all the time. But I think it's about having a prayerful attitude. And for me, starting the day, listening to God is a way to do that. Now, in our Christian heritage, we have these wonderful teachers. We often have forgotten about them. But one of my favorites is an anonymous author of a 14th century Middle English text called The Cloud of Unknowing. Unknowing. And one of the techniques he recommends there is that when you're sitting there in silence, hold on to a single syllable word. Single syllable. God. Peace. Love. Sin. to circle back. We also, as Father Frank guided us in a group earlier this year, we have the wonderful tradition of Lectio Divina from Guigo, a 12th century Carthusian monk. We also there's also Visio Divina, as it's sometimes called, taking an image and holding that in your prayerful thought. I often think of a story that Father Brandt would tell us about that wonderful image that we have at the back of our church, Dreadlock Jesus. And remember the Armenian woman who would come here. Oh, the Eastern Church, as Mother Julie would tell us, has wonderful traditions of icons, images, using those in prayer. But she, this woman, would hold her head, her face against the glass, against that image of Jesus, and then leave. And once Father Brandt went back and looked at the glass, and there were tears on it, where she'd held that vision of Jesus. So I could go on for a while. I won't. There should be a clock here in the back. I think we've got good friends who would do this too. I think we'll do a forum at some point and talk about different methods that we can do. But I want to say to those good people with their yoga mats, join us at church. We know about silence. We know what it teaches us. We sit, we close our eyes. It's, the parable that we got from Jesus. It's the manure. It's the digging around and making some space, giving air, so that we can find what our priorities truly are. And we sit, close our eyes, and we can say just like Moses, here I am. Here I am.